This is the Morning Conversation on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Zachary Stocks with us from Oregon Black Pioneers, talking about an event happening at the Douglas County Museum on Saturday. Zachary, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
So let's talk about this special event. Now, it's the Douglas County Historical Society doing this at the museum, and a fascinating program about a formerly enslaved woman who came to Oregon in 1845 and ran into all kinds of problems doing some of the things she wanted to do. Tell us more about it.
Absolutely. So the woman you're referring to is named Letitia Carson, and she was brought to Oregon with a white man named David Carson in 1845, like you said, and they originally settled in what is today Benton County, and they lived as a family. They had two children together and were pretty typical Willamette Valley farmers and ranchers. But after David Carson's death in 1852, Letitia, being a black woman, she was not able to be a beneficiary to David's estate. And so she was dispossessed from her land at a probate auction, and she and her children were homeless and joined a local family as a domestic servant, and then made their way with that family down to Douglas County in 1853, where she would live the rest of her life.
Wow. You know, of course, folks that have studied history in Oregon know about, for instance, the whites-only provision of the 1850 Oregon Donation Land Claim Act. It's something that people look at now and probably scratch their heads at a lot, thinking that that could have even happened not that many years ago.
Absolutely. And, you know, you think of the impact of that law in particular. When it was set down, white men could claim 320 acres of free land. All they had to do was claim it and settle it for 5 years and make some kind of improvements on it, which typically meant building a home, starting a farm of some sort. And they could claim an additional 320 acres through their white wives. So that's 640 acres, which is 1 square mile of land. Can you imagine each household having 1 square mile of land given to them for free? And the fact that people of color were excluded from that opportunity, you think about what is the loss of wealth that accumulated here in Oregon that potentially could have changed the entire demographics of the state and made it a much more welcoming place for people today.
And the museum program on Saturday, who's going to be speaking at that?
That's going to be Dr. Bob Zyback. So Bob is part of what we call the Letitia Carson Legacy Project. It's a collaborative effort between many different organizations and individuals that are interested in learning more about Letitia's story and using it as a starting point to talk about bigger conversations about land, land policy, race, and land equity in Oregon. And Dr. Zyback is really the person who helped to find Letitia's story again after it had been forgotten, for more than 150 years. But in the course of doing his PhD research in the early 1990s, he found the probate records from the story of Letitia losing her home in Benton County and followed the breadcrumbs to uncover this remarkable story of a woman who would not be let that one loss define her entire life.
And, of course, you're from Oregon Black Pioneers. Tell us more about that group.
Sure. So we are Oregon's only statewide African-American Historical Society. We're based in Portland. We have a small team of 2.5 people, but we've been around for quite a while. We were founded in 1993, and we're primarily volunteer-run until 2020. And it's because of the tremendous amount of research and presentation time and efforts of dedicated volunteers that we're able to accumulate a large collection of archival resources and information about what is the story of the Black Oregonian experience. And we use that in our exhibits, in our public presentations, a number of digital projects, anything that we can do to share stories about our rich history.
And of course, not only did we have the 1850 Donation Land Claim Act, but we had sunset laws that were an issue as well. And in fact, a number of communities, including Roseburg, I'm told, had those on the books way longer than they were, enforced at all, but they were still there in black and white.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. So we often talk about sundown laws, but as far as I can tell, there were never any laws locally that were passed which said something like black people could not be in a particular place after hours. Instead, these were more informal policies, threats, really, that were passed anecdotally from person to person. To put it down in the law would have been unconstitutional, both in Oregon's and the federal constitutions. But that does not mean that every community was welcoming to black people or other people of color. And in fact, we have many, many stories of people who were told after they arrived in a certain community that the locals would not be open to them sticking around or patronizing local businesses. And of course, very many communities where black people could not stay overnight, no hotels that would be open to them. Even black celebrities that were traveling through Oregon on West Coast tours would often have to stay in the homes of nearby black individuals because there would be no hotels that were open to them.
Wow, amazing. And of course, we even have issues in parts of Oregon with the Ku Klux Klan being very active for decades as well.
Yes, the Oregon Klan was started in southern Oregon and then sort of rode the Southern Pacific Railway north. In the 1920s, Oregon had more Ku Klux Klan members per capita than any other state in the nation. Something like one out of every 20 or 25 Oregonians was a card-carrying member of the Ku Klux Klan. Because there were so few black people in the state at the time, their main target was really Catholics and Jews, and less so black people. But of course, any person of color or anyone who is against what the Klan allegedly stood for would have been a target to their harassment and violence. And there was violence perpetuated against black people by Ku Klux Klan members, though perhaps not to the extent that we see in southern states.
So Bob Zybak will be the presenter on Saturday. It sounds like it's going to be a pretty fascinating event.
Oh, absolutely. Bob has been speaking about Letitia Carson for a couple of decades now, and he's currently writing a book about Letitia, a detailed biography about her life story, and has worked with local groups to even develop educational resources, children's books. He certainly knows everything there is to know about her story, and we're really grateful for his leadership in helping us to be able to tell it even further.
Well, and according to the information I've got, ultimately, after a couple of lawsuits, which she both won, then there's a rest of the story of her life that I think will be fascinating to hear.
Yeah, I don't want to spoil too much, but Letitia did bring two unprecedented lawsuits against the estate of her late common law husband, David Carson, and it was over the loss of that property. And then in Douglas County, she eventually became a homesteader herself. So as you had mentioned, you know, the donation land claim was unavailable for black claimants. However, the Homestead Act, which was passed under Abraham Lincoln, that was not explicitly unavailable to people of color or to women. And so Letitia applied for a homestead claim and received one, and ultimately had her own 160-acre claim in Douglas County near Myrtle Creek.
All right, very good. At 2 o'clock, Douglas County Museum to find out more about this. And Zachary Stocks from Oregon Black Pioneers, thanks for being on this morning, telling us more about this story.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
8:40 at the Morning Report.